She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 226, Tapping Into Your Gifts and Living According to Your Purpose with Mary Shores. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way. In today's episode, we talk about finding out your strengths and your personality. What are they, and do you begin to embrace them and build on them even more? And where do they take you in life, and how do they help you grow? And today's guest, Mary Shores, gets into all of that as we learn about her mission as a motivational speaker and as a writer. So her first book, Conscious Communications, was born from her love of personal development, and she helps teach it from a place where science and spirituality meet. She believes that once you tap into your subconscious and harness your words, you have the ability to change your choices, behavior, and mind. And I, friends, totally believe that, because that is the key to getting to what we want in life. And so from there, you'll be able to bring areas of your life into alignment, begin to find yourself, and grow as an entrepreneur and as a person. So also in this episode, you'll be able to find out your authentic gifts, know what your strongest personality traits are, and start applying them to your life, see how to inspire people within your industry to change their methods, be able to change the public's idea about your industry, and know how to create your new neural pathways and understand your subconscious mind. Hello, ladies and friends. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. We have the beautiful, lovely, and intelligent Mary Shores on the show today. And she is an author and a speaker. And one of the things I was just telling her before we got started is that I really resonated with her was especially her book coming out called Conscious Communications. And she also talks about the mind, the choices, our life, and really speaking to the subconscious mind and how we can remove blocks from our subconscious mind in order to be a high performing individual and business owner. And so for that, I was like, I need to bring Mary on because I want to learn more. And I want Mary to teach my audience and teach you guys about how to uncover, remove those blocks, communicate in a conscious way, so that we can be better business owners. So Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am absolutely excited to be here.
Yay. Well, good. And I know I always, I love hearing what my guests have to say. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell us in your own words what it is that you do?
Wow. I'd love to. So, okay. My name is Mary Shores. I live in Champaign, Illinois. I am a CEO for over 20 years. I was the youngest person to open a business in my industry, which was in 1998. I was at that time 24 years old. I really became a communications expert, and I created my very own communication strategy that's been used in business for over 10 years. So I've trained on this in the healthcare industry, in IT. I actually teach it locally, like at the Economic Development Center, at the community college. And it's just, it's been a really life-changing journey, just that one aspect of it. But then I had this other dream that I really wanted to be a motivational speaker, and I wanted to write a personal development book. So I set out to make that dream a reality. And in August, my book was published with Hay House, and within 6 weeks, it became a number one bestseller on Amazon in the category of self-esteem, communications, and happiness.
Amazing. Congratulations. That is awesome. That has to be an amazing feeling. Let's go back then. When you first started your business at 24, what inspired you to start your business, and what were some of the, like, take us back to that journey and that story of starting your business.
Well, I can, and it's not a clean one. So I just want you
even better. Tell us everything.
So I will tell you that ever since I was a little girl, I always just had that entrepreneurial bug. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when all the other little girls played house, I played bank.
Yes.
And what my bank looked like was my garage. And I grew up in like the 80s. So we had these like garage sale tables and I arranged them in my garage and I had all this like fake money that I created. You couldn't print them off computers then. I literally had to like draw them with like pencils and cut them up and passed out all this money to the neighborhood kids. And literally they all had accounts at my bank and I would have them come through my drive-thru on their like tricycles and bicycles. And remember even like those big wheels? Mm-hmm. They were made out of plastic, those adorable little big wheels. So yeah, I mean, that was probably at like 9 years old, I was doing that. So I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. When I was in middle school, I got kicked out of school because I went to Lutheran school and I opened a store in the cafeteria selling beauty products, and they didn't like that so much.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, it was all because I wanted this like one particular swimsuit, and I'll never forget because it was $55. Now, $55 in like 1986 is quite a bit of money for a 12-year-old swimsuit. I don't know what was in my head, but my mother said, well, if you want that swimsuit, you'll have to earn the money and pay for it yourself. So I went up in the attic of my home, and my dad worked for a beauty supplier, and we had just like we had boxes and boxes of things like nail polish remover, shampoo, combs. I mean, you know, stuff at a beauty supply store. So I just like took it all to school and started selling it. Got in big trouble for that one. But anyway, so then really what happened was my parents had owned a collection agency before I did, so from the time I was about 13, I worked there, which meant like I got paid $1 an hour. I don't know that I ever actually got paid, but the arrangement was $1 an hour. And my job was to lick stamps and lick the envelopes. Can you believe that?
Oh my goodness.
Like nobody would even do that today.
That'd be
it'd be like toxic poisoning. Yeah, so that's what I did. And I folded the letters and that's what I did. But when I was then young and I got the opportunity to start my own business, kind of the fact that I thought I knew everything, but in reality I knew nothing, actually served to my benefit because my naivete was my strength. If that makes any sense at all.
Totally. 100%.
And my inspiration was really more about that I just – actually, it kind of came from a place of unworthiness. I had actually been working at a bank, and I lost the job. I got fired. I was devastated. Just absolutely – it was kind of like, you know, when you get hired and you have your 90-day evaluation – mm-hmm. So when I had my 90-day evaluation, they said, well, we don't really need you to come back tomorrow.
Oh my goodness.
I know. It was terrible. I cried. It was one of the worst things that had happened in my young life at that point. So, you know, I think that it kind of created a scar in me, like that nobody would want me. And so I decided I needed to start my own business, believe it or not, because I didn't think I'd be able to get a job.
So how long was the time between when you had your 90-day evaluation to when you started your company?
So that was probably about 3 years.
Wow. Okay. How does someone even, because you started a collection agency at the age of 24, how did you, like, what were some of the steps that you took, and did you choose collection agency because that's what your family business was in, or how did you land on that?
Well, yeah. So like a lot of 24-year-olds, I thought I knew everything, but in reality, I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. So that sort of fearlessness kept me going. You know, my mom, I arranged to get like a few clients from my mom, so that was nice. And I also had some help getting a license, which is a big deal in the collection business. You have to have specific licensing because you're dealing with other people's money. But the truth is, I was just a darn hard worker, and I was willing to do what was on my desk no matter what it was. So I was really a unique problem solver. I was great at communicating with the clients. And I just, in those early days, it wasn't really about making money. It was more that I was establishing myself. But yeah, my goal was definitely not to increase my bottom line at all. My goal was to develop a reputation and really see what my potential could become, which in those days, the potential that I imagined, to be honest, wasn't all that big. Like if you would have told me then at 24, listen, honey, someday you're going to be a best-selling author. You're going to be a sought-after speaker. You're going to have a company 100 times the size of what you have now. I would have never believed it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So take us to that transition. Like what started sparking you when you left the collection agency that you built and that transition from there to where you are today?
Okay, sure. Well, I haven't left it. I still own the company. So I'm sitting in my office right now. And what has changed over the years is that my mission with this, with respect to collections, several years ago, I decided I wanted to take a spiritual path. So I've always been an entrepreneur, but I really wanted to take this different path in life. And all of a sudden, personal development and spiritual growth became extremely important in my life. And I went through this existential crisis that kind of looked like this. You know, if you want to take a more spiritual path, you know, and you're reaching for, you know, concepts of enlightenment or self-actualization, I really didn't understand how that was going to fit into my world of being a debt collector. Because let's face it, you know, in spiritual terms, we don't look at debt collections as a very positive thing. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of like there's a negative stigma to debt collections. Well, my mission had always been from the beginning that I wanted people to feel good about paying their debt, because having a debt is a psychological burden, and it's a burden that becomes, like you were talking about blocks earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's a burden that becomes a barrier between the person and living the life of their dreams. So if someone has a debt, they're going to be having this foundational feeling of shame and unworthiness that is going to keep them from starting a business. It's going to keep them from applying for the home that they want. It can even keep them from dating the same person because they feel so unworthy. And this has been a big mission in my life for so long that I realized that the way that I needed to continue on my spiritual path was when you become authentic with the gifts that you have been given. You know, we're all born with certain natural talents and abilities, and we're all very unique in what our skill sets are. But when you bring those talents to whatever it is your J-O-B, you can really make miracles happen. And so I've got an entire chapter in my book, Conscious Communications, dedicated to becoming who you really are. Because I think that we're in this space where we're sort of told what we should become. You know, we're told what's important, like get the education, get the job, get the house, get the family, when really maybe that's not what we should listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can figure out like your inner gifts just as simply, because, you know, like I feel like there's this big P word lately, and the big P word is purpose. Have you heard this?
I mean, I've definitely heard of purpose, but I never looked at it through the lens of like a big word, but I'd love to hear your take.
Well, in the circles of like personal growth and development, a lot of people are talking about purpose, living your purpose, living congruent with your purpose, getting authentic with your purpose. But then what you've got is you've got a lot of people standing around going, what's my purpose?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know my purpose. I must not have a purpose. And so when I got really serious about wanting to like facilitate these ideas, what I learned was that your purpose is those gifts. And so if you can do something as simple as take a personality test, so like for example, taking a Myers-Briggs, taking a DISC profile, which is DISC, you'll get a set of personality traits. And in that, it's going to tell you what your natural gifts are. And it's also going to tell you what your challenges are. And so you print it out and you just take a highlighter, and all of the things that are your positive traits, you just highlight those. And then you take those things, whatever they may be, and you apply it to your life. So mine were writer, teacher, speaker, leader, you know, all of these things. And as soon as what I did that changed everything, Amanda, was I took those traits and I applied it to not only my company, but my industry. So now my mission to help people feel good about paying their debt has turned into a mission to change the entire collections industry.
So give an example, say that again around the industry piece, because I want that to sink in.
I know. I think I probably just said something that make you scratch your head a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm scratching my head over here because I'm like, okay, I get the company, but I really want to see and understand the industry piece and how to infuse and like take, for example, what you're doing and how you are channeling and taking your gifts and then putting that towards your company. And then, but tell us again how it works with the industry.
So I'm absolutely glad to share that. So as I mentioned, you know, my natural talents and gifts were like writing, speaking, being a leader, these types of things. And so when I realized that I needed to make a change in the industry, because I'm just one company, you know, and I can only make so much change. And I believe in the concept of being a humanitarian plus company more so than a humanitarian minus company, you know, especially in this day and age where we really, and I'm 44, but I'm in a situation where the people I hire are millennials, and the millennials that I'm hiring, you know, they really want to make an impact, and they need to be knowing that they are working for a company that is pushing the human evolution forward, instead of companies that are stalling or even taking humanity backwards. And so when I look at the collection industry as a whole, I can tell you that there are significant problems that exist. There's a lot of abuse going on. There's a lot of illegal activity. There's a lot of violations that happen, and a lot of people don't know their rights with respect to debt collectors. I mean, I could give you examples, but people have their own imaginations, and a lot of people have even had their own run-ins with debt collectors. And so, you know, that's left sort of a sting on their memory. So it just became like, how can I make a dent in the way that collections are perceived in this country? And what I realized the problem is that the change has to happen within the debt collectors themselves. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I took my little speaking ability and I went to an industry, you know, like an industry association meeting, and I applied for a speaker. And I said, I'd like to, you know, come and talk to you about words that work. And they said yes, but let me tell you, that very first speech that I gave, they were all but throwing tomatoes at me. They hated me.
What was it? Was it just because of what you were trying to do within the industry that was different from what they were used to?
Absolutely. These people did not want to hear that there was anything awry that they were doing. You know, they wanted to look at the people who owed the money and treat them like they were the bad guy. They didn't want to accept responsibility for what they were doing to contribute to the problem. Debt collections is the highest litigated industry in the country. We also have the highest amount of complaints filed each year to the regulatory committees. As a matter of fact, there is an entire branch dedicated just to take complaints about collection agencies. That's how terrible it is.
Oh, goodness.
So let's go full circle with this. So that was about 5 or 6 years ago that I gave that first speech. And then last month, I actually got a phone call from like our industry magazine. And she said, oh, I want to ask you a few questions. And, you know, I thought, okay. She goes, it's for this article I'm writing. And I said, well, that's great. What is the article about? She said, it's about you. And it was such a moment because I realized that finally this industry is embracing what I have that I can teach them.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing too, in order to be able to shift that entire industry. So then as you were able to infuse, which was so funny because when you were talking, I was writing down questions, and the questions I was writing down, you were answering them. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just stop writing the questions down that I have next because Mary is going to answer them. But how did you then come up with conscious communications? And is that bringing that through? And how do we be more conscientious communicators in our own life and our own business?
Well, Conscious Communications, the book, is it was really born out of my love of personal development. So it's, you know, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And so the concept of the book is it's a great representation of teaching personal development through the place where science and spirituality meet, because I'm very scientific minded. So I love neuroscience. And what I learned is that whether you're talking about science or you're talking about spirituality, we're really talking about the same thing, but we're using two different languages. And so, as you probably already know about the subconscious mind, is that we're really, our mind is built up of all of these neural networks that drive all of our behaviors, our choices, our habits, our fears. I mean, everything is coming out of this subconscious. Mm-hmm. But the magic is that it can be changed. So the subtitle of the book is Your Step-by-Step Guide to Harnessing the Power of Your Words to Change Your Mind, Your Choices, and Your Life. Because the way that you really, on your journey, you know, the way that you really get from like here to there is you got to get all these areas of your life in alignment and moving in the direction of that you want. Because if we can accept that infinite possibilities are available to us, it's like, what choices, what things do we do that will connect us more to the things that we want and stop us from flowing in the chaos of all the uncertainty and the negative circumstances that seem to swallow us up? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this just became very important. And what the book, like, it begins to focus on how do you change your neural pathways? And we're going to do this by certain coaching exercises that one builds on the other and continues to just build and strengthen. You know, first you have to create new neural pathways, and then you need to strengthen them.
How long does it usually take to create a new neural pathway? And I'm asking this because I'm imagining, including myself sitting here and then the listeners tuning in, wondering, maybe they have a block and they want to create a new neural pathway. How long can they expect, or what does that look like?
I think that's a great question. And I think that it could be slightly different for everyone, but I'm going to just talk like in generalities.
Sure.
So some of the daily practices that I did to create mine, I don't know why, but I had this expectation in my head that it was going to be 30 days. You know, it's simple. You always hear like try a new habit for 30 days. So it wasn't 30 days and it was 45 days.
So what was the one that you were trying to, what neural pathway were you trying to create?
So I didn't like the ones that I'm thinking about right now, which I'll tell you what I did was one of the things I did was I sat down and every single day I wrote a page of affirmations a day, and I wasn't telling myself, oh, I want to create a neural pathway for XYZ. Mm-hmm. It was just that I wanted to create certain things in my life. Like I wanted to get a book deal. I wanted to focus on certain relationships in my life, especially with my children. I wanted to focus on growing my team at work. So they were probably what I would call more goal-oriented. Because I'm kind of a goal-oriented person. But I didn't think like, oh, I'm going to create this neural pathway. But now I totally want to do that now that you've given me that idea.
But so, back to what you're saying, though, like sometimes it's the basic, and I think I shared this in a previous episode, is one of the affirmations that I said for about 6 months was, I'm happy, healthy, wealthy, wise, and ever growing. And I kept doing that every single day. And that was, I was in a not so great state mindset. And now 6 months later, when I look back, there's definitely a change. And so there is power between the words. And even though it maybe isn't a specific neural pathway to try to create, there's still value in doing something that is all encompassing.
Yes. And so what I noticed is that at about 45 days, like I said, I expected it to be 30 days, but at about 45 days, I just started to feel differently. And so I don't know if this is what you experienced as well, but I just sort of felt lighter. And when I looked around at my environment, it's kind of like things just seemed better. Things seemed brighter and crisper. And it just, like, I started noticing much more opportunities around me. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I talk about often is that I think that we're in this place where we love to get quick fixes. Like, we love to go away to that weekend workshop that's going to give us a transformation in a weekend. And I certainly do this. Like, I am a weekend workshop warrior. But I used to go to these things and I would, you know, you get all excited, you're around all these like-minded people, life is great, you've immersed yourself into the event. And at the end of the week or the weekend, I would look around and all these people would be saying, oh, you know, I've really, like, this has changed my life. And I would think, well, I'm exactly the same. Nothing has changed. So what I realized was, if I talked to that same person 3 weeks later, nothing had really changed for them. And what they were doing is they were riding high on the energy of the event.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I mean, I've personally experienced that myself. And I know from my event that I had hosted back in October last year, that was definitely a point of, it was definitely at the forefront of some of the attendees' minds about, like, hey, I've done this. Like, this is great. I feel so inspired when I'm here, but how do I keep it going and continue it so that when I don't get back home in my, like, the other environment that I live a certain way in, that I don't default to it, but I can still carry through what I've learned at this event.
That's so smart. And so, yeah, what I learned is that true transformation happens in small pivots over time. And so the best thing that, like, I've learned to do, I'm still a weekend workshop warrior. I love them. They are absolutely my joy. If I were to come to, like, your event, I would pick out the things that I knew, like, whatever tools that you offered, and I would think, how can I apply these things to my life? And I would immediately go home and I would begin to apply whatever it is I could apply. Now, a lot of times, you know, at an event, you're going to learn many, many, many concepts. And my goal is to just come away with one. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing that and it's absolutely life-changing. First of all, I don't have this expectation hangover anymore, like that I'm going to transform my life in a weekend. But secondly, I've built myself into a lot of resiliency and strength and the ability to even see how those concepts can apply to my life. And so a lot of that I share in the book and just taking, like, how do you create a daily practice? Because those are the things that create true change. And those are the things that help you get, like, those are the things that truly help you up-level your life.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Now, I'm curious too, has there been, like, so talking about new neural pathways, part of creating one is making the choice to create one. So have you, at any part in your journey, have you ever found yourself where you wouldn't want to change your words, even though you knew at that time it would provide a more positive outcome for you to change your words?
You know, I definitely have had experiences like that. You know, I've got a couple of examples. Sometimes you're not actually aware of the words. So I know for myself, I was, for about 10 years, I really, really wanted to write and publish a book. And my mantra was, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And the thing is that words are like a mirror to your subconscious programming. And when I say the words, I want to write a book, it's like you are looking in and seeing that written on my soul like a purpose. But the problem is that the words, I'm not a writer, are also a mirror to my subconscious. And it's revealing to me one of those blocks like that you talked about. It's revealing to me that somewhere in my history, I've developed a belief that is not going to support this goal. And so what I needed to do to correct that was to invest in myself. So I needed to eliminate the blocks by saying, how can I get the skills necessary to become a writer if I don't feel like I'm one right now? And I was able to do that by starting to attend writer's workshops. And so, but you know, that was a mantra of mine for 10 years. And how much writing was I going to get done when my words to myself on a daily basis were, I'm not a writer?
Mm-hmm. I know. And you, like, even just that one example right there, and there's so many other examples that even I've gone through my mind, and you know, a common one too is you hear people saying, well, but I'm not an entrepreneur, and because people aren't comfortable with identifying that, actually, no, you are an entrepreneur. So the words that we say or the words that we think to ourselves, just we plant them into our subconscious, and like you said, we block them from ever taking any like fruition or moving past that. So as we wrap up here, I have a couple last questions for you. Aside from Conscious Communications, which we should all go and get, is there any other book that you've read that's really helped you catapult your spiritual journey and awareness and helped you be a better business owner?
Oh my gosh. So I read so many books, and the book that came to me when you said that was Simon Sinek's Start With Why. That book had a huge impact on me. I think I read it 3 years ago for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Simon Sinek. Yeah, he's got his YouTube. I've never read the book. I have the book, but I've never fully read it. His YouTube video is fantastic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's so good if you haven't listened to it. So I'll make sure that we hang that in the show notes as well. What are you, like, how are you planning for 2018, both personally and professionally?
Well, I've got a lot going on for 2018. I have been working with a new business development director in my office, and her and I have some big, it's just like expansion plans for our company, as well as like how do we mix all of these new and exciting projects that we have going on and make them make sense into our world, like between the speaking opportunities that I have, the, you know, the collections piece, but also the personal development piece. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is Hay House, who is my very favorite publisher, has invited me to do a monthly show for them. So starting on January 8th, I will be doing a series of shows on their Facebook channel, Hay House.
That is so exciting. Congratulations.
I know. I mean, I did the first one in December, and we had like 24,000 viewers. And it was all live, and you know, it was so exciting, and it went so well that they invited me to do a monthly series. So in January, I'm going to be discussing New Year, New You.
New Year, New You. I love it. Well, why don't you, Mary, share with my listeners where they can find out more information about you, get a hold of your book, and how they can connect with you.
Yeah, I would love, if anyone is remotely interested in the work that I'm doing, jump on Amazon, find the book Conscious Communications, just read the description, see if it resonates with you at all. And also on my website, maryshores.com, we've always got free giveaways going on. So you can check there. We've got a free Conscious Communications guidebook, which is a mini course that goes along with the book. And you can do that without the book, but it's certainly nice to do them in tandem together. It has all the coaching exercises in the book available, and you can connect with me on any social media that you like: Facebook, Mary Shores, Instagram, Mary Shores, Twitter, Pinterest, all of them.
Love it. Awesome. Mary, thank you so much for coming on the show. I greatly appreciate your time and your energy and your insights.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.